verse says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And what we need to understand that it's a progression of things. In the Old Testament, the passage that's quoted up there is actually from 2 Kings chapter 6, which is what we're going to look at tomorrow night. But what I want you to see is that those, in the Old Testament, he talks about those as in more than one. And then in the New Testament, he talks about one, and that one is Jesus Christ. If you guys want to learn about Jesus Christ this week, you're in the right place. I want you all to pay attention for a little while. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look in the book of Joshua at some pretty cool stuff. And then tomorrow night, we're going to get into the book of 2 Kings. And then on Thursday, whenever we're together again, we're going to look at something called 1 versus 2. And that's all I'm going to say, is leave it at that. And you try and figure it out on your own. 1 versus 2. But what I want us to do, what I want us to see as we go through these things, I want to kind of get you guys to have a proper world view of what the world's all about. Your generation, young people, is facing some of the greatest challenges this world has ever seen. Okay? And you guys need to keep that in mind. In your generation, it's all about Twitter, Facebook, right? I have a Twitter account. I have a Facebook account. Okay? It's all about cell phones. It's all about, look here, iPads. I have one of those too. Imagine that, yeah. It's all technology driven. There's so much information. It's all about communication. And what ends up happening is you get swallowed up in that stuff. And all of a sudden, things that really matter, things that are really important, go by the wayside. And that's what we want to avoid. So tonight, we're going to begin our study in the book of Joshua. Who has a Bible? Raise your Bible up if you have one. Okay, so there's a lot of people in here that have a Bible. I was speaking with somebody earlier today about the Bible and how so often teachers or whatnot or preachers don't use a Bible. I'm here to tell you, we're going to use a Bible this week. We're going to open our Bibles and we're going to study our Bibles. So if you don't have one, bring one. And if you still don't have one, then look at one with somebody else. But those for us, those for us as compared to those against us. When you think about that, what's something that comes to mind? Fear, right? I mean, think about it. Think about the fact that if you are standing there and there's somebody against you, what can happen to you? What's one of the first things that happens? If Jalen and Riley are about to attack me, I'm going to feel a little bit of fear. 280, 250, okay? Are you following me? So what I want to do, I want to talk about fear tonight. Because something that all of us face is fear. So my prayer is that we can explore the book of Joshua a little bit and try and learn how to combat fear. And then tomorrow night, when we get to 2 Kings, we're going to see a man named Elisha who faced fear down. We're going to talk about that. So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, I pray that we'd take this opportunity right now to set aside distractions, to not think about school, to not think about girls, to not think about boys, to not think about anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and direct us. And I pray, Father, that throughout this week, we would have a little taste of heaven here on earth. Father, I want to thank you for everyone that's here. Everyone that's here this week is here for a reason. Nobody's left out. Everybody's important. And I pray, Father, that if there's people here tonight who do not know Jesus as their Savior, that would change this week. Father, I thank you for everyone that's here. And I just pray that we would have a good week, and I pray that your name would be lifted up in Christ's name. Amen. There's a guy, there's an author of a book. His name is Leif Inger. And he wrote this. He says, "We and the world, my children, will always be at war. Retreat is impossible. Arm yourselves." Okay? Who has ever seen the movie Amadeus? Anybody? Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart? Along those same lines as the quote I just read, in that movie, One of the characters in that movie is a guy named Antonio Salieri. Anyway, Antonio Salieri is a composer just like Mozart. Mozart composed music back in the 1600s, is that right? 1500s, whatever. So anyway, this movie is all about Amadeus. This guy was brilliant. Mozart, he was a brilliant composer. He was writing, you know, entire symphonies when he was still a baby in the crib. I'm just kidding. It wasn't that far back, okay? But he was 5 years old, okay? 5 years old, writing a symphony. Who in here is familiar with music? All right. Did you know how hard it would be to write a symphony, right? That's crazy, isn't it? Okay, well, that's what this guy was doing. And that's what this movie was about, was the brilliance of Mozart. Well, in this movie, there comes a point where this guy, Antonio Salieri, he's speaking to God, and he says this. He says, "You choose for your instrument a boastful, lustful, smutty, infantile boy, and give me for reward only the ability to recognize the incarnation. Because you are unjust, unfair, unkind, I will block you. I swear it. I will hinder and harm your creature as far as I am able, and I will ruin your incarnation." Well, listen, guys, that is a perfect picture of what Satan is trying to do to everybody in this room. He's trying to block you. He's trying to keep you from learning the truth. He's trying to make it to where you just don't have anything to do with it. You want to ignore it. Anything but that. And that's something we want to avoid. Now, the theme of those two quotes that I just read to you is this, that we are opposed. We are opposed, every one of us. There's something fighting us. There's something against us. Greater are those for us than those against us. What I want to do tonight, when we get into Joshua, as I said, I want to see what Joshua did, how he combated, how he dealt with this idea of fear, how he dealt with opposition. But before I do, I think it's very important that everybody in here understands what salvation is. I don't know the spiritual condition of everybody in here. I know my spiritual condition, and I know several people in here, and I know that we are going to heaven. If I were to drop dead right now, I would be face to face with Jesus Christ. I am completely and totally confident in that fact. If you are not confident in that fact tonight, then my prayer is that will change. Because the other side, the only other place you can go besides face to face with Christ is being eternally separated from Him forever. And that's not a good thing. So I want to make sure that every one of us understands what salvation is. And salvation, guys, all it means is the Lord has said He is willing to save your soul. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, hung on a cross, the Son of God, in the flesh, for you, shed His blood, gave His life, so that you could have eternal life. Because there's a problem in this world, and it's called sin. Sin separates us from God. Okay? And what the Lord did is He made provision for that. He sent Jesus. Jesus died for you. You put your faith in Him. It's that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, and you will be saved. You guys pay attention to me. This is important stuff. Okay? Eyes this way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And it's simply a matter of faith. You don't have to walk the aisle. You don't have to pray a sinner's prayer. You just simply say, "Jesus, I believe." You can do it right now, right where you sit. It can happen. If there's anybody in here that does not know that for a fact, please talk with me or one of the counselors or somebody else so that we can talk about that, because it's the most important decision you will ever make. Okay? All right. Let's get to the book of Joshua. If you will, turn to chapter 1. If you can tell me where Joshua is. Is it in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Okay. To give you a little bit of background, you remember the story of Moses and the ten plagues? Remember Moses in Egypt and Pharaoh and all those things? And Pharaoh won't let him go, and he says, "Let my people go," and he says, "No," and then the plagues come and whatnot. Well, eventually, the Israelites, they're able to leave Egypt. They wander around and walk around in the desert for 39 years. Do these stories ring bells for everybody? Okay? And then at the end of that 39 years, Moses has died, and the guy who took over from him was a guy named Joshua. Well, tonight, we're going to see what God said to Joshua. And what we need to keep in mind is, as they wandered in the desert for all those years, the Lord was taking them to a place, a land. Okay, this is going to be your home, he said. But before you can have that land, you got to do certain things. And what we're going to see tonight are the things that God commanded Joshua to do. Read with me, if you will, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now it came about, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, that's the river, you and all this people, to the land, which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their forefathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it and day and night, so that you may be careful to do according all to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Guys, this is the Word of God. What we're going to see in just a minute is the God of the Word. Okay, we're going to see that over in Joshua chapter 5. But what I want you, everybody to realize, that this is what God said to Joshua. This is his commands. This is the Word of God to him. And the promise he made was to give him a land, an inheritance, a gift for them. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ tonight, you have an inheritance coming your way. Did you know that? Do you think this is all there is to this life? You just live and then you die and that's it. I mean, we end up in the clouds playing a harp, right? Is that how it works? No, that wasn't a harp this way, right? Okay? That's not how it works, is it? You have a promise. You have an inheritance. God has something for you. It's a reward, something that you can get. There's a certain way you can attain it. Okay? And one of the things we need to do is to always remember, in order for us to attain that inheritance, is to remember that greater is He that is in us than He that is against us. And what I want to do, look at verse 5. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with you, or with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. That's a promise. God never changes. Just like He was with Joshua, He is with every one of you all the days of your life. Somebody tell me what's said in verse 6, 7, and 9. It said in each verse, so it said three times. Anybody? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Not cower in the corner. Not be scared of what's going on in the world today. Not freak out when things blow apart. I have no idea how those people in Moore, Oklahoma, I can't comprehend what they went through on that day. But the Word of God says to be strong and courageous, even when it gets really scary and really bad. And why can we be strong and courageous? Because the Lord God is with us wherever we go. It's the same for Him, and it's the same for us, because God never changes. And if you look at verses 7 and 8, He says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law, which Moses my servant commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Be careful to do all the law, which Moses my servant commanded you. You know what the law was then? It was the Mosaic Law. It's what God gave him on the mountain. The Ten Commandments. There you go, man. And there was a whole bunch of other laws too. But that's the law that they had to follow. That was the Word of God for them. For you and I, the Word of God, the best part for us is found in the New Testament. Okay? The commands of Christ, the letters of Paul. That's the Word of God for us. That's what we follow today. But what I want you to see, one of the first steps to overcoming fear, to being able to take the land, is to obey the Word of God. That's in huge. I read the Bible every day. If I did not read the Bible every day, something's going to go wrong. I'm telling you, something's going to be bad. Something's not going to be right. Just like you have to have three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, however it is you eat, okay? You have to have the Word of God in your life every single day. Forget football, forget the girls, forget the boys, forget the Justin Biebers, forget all that stuff. It's all passing away. The only thing that's going to stand forever is this book right here. The only way you can defeat fear is through the Word of God. Meditate on it. Soak it in. Be careful to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Be careful is the idea to pay attention to what God states in the Bible. To do implies action, and the action is to obey and to trust what God says. Because you are opposed, there's an enemy trying to take you out. There's an enemy who's subtle, and he's always looking for ways to get you distracted away from the Word of God. Adults in the room, am I not right? Okay? So you, right now, young people, right now, develop a habit of reading the Word. Jalen tweets a lot. And Jalen tweets Bible verses a lot. Jalen tweets inspiring things from the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about. It's okay to have Twitter. It's okay to have Facebook. Heck, the government knows all about you anyway. Okay? So why not use it for God's glory? Use all that technology in a good way. That's my challenge to you. Instead of making fun of your friends or whatever it is that happens, use it. Utilize it. Make something good come of it. But anyway, stay in the Word of God. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. You stay straight on the path. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Remember the story in the New Testament where Peter wants to walk on water? Remember that one? And Jesus says, come on. And as long as Peter has his eyes on Christ, everything's fine. But the minute he takes his eyes off of Christ and he starts to look at the waves, what does he do? He gets scared. He gets fearful. And he immediately begins to sink. It's the same way with your life. You got to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And when you do, you're not going to sink. You're going to have rough times. Life is not, that doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. But you're going to be able to, he's going to be with you through no matter what happens, whatever circumstance. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Can you imagine trying to walk through the woods in the dark? Trying to walk through the woods in the dark in Arkansas is a very dangerous thing. Okay? There's all kinds of wild and woolly things in the woods at night. That's why you got to have a flashlight, right? And as long as you have that flashlight, you can see. Spiritually, the Word of God is a flashlight. And the only way you're going to make it through life and have victory on the other side and be able to look back and say, my life was worth something, is if you follow the Word of God. In the Old Testament, well, look at verse 8 again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. What does meditate mean? Anybody? What's that? It does a little yoga thing. Focus, right? Yeah, it's not the guy with his legs crossed doing this. That's funny. But I'm talking, it means to focus. It means to soak yourself in it. Meditate on it. Study it. Get to know it. In the Old Testament, what I was going to tell you, the priests, they wore these things called phylacteries on their foreheads. It was literally, they'd take a piece of leather and with a little box, and inside that little box was Bible verses. And they'd tie that to their head. But it was, I don't know if it was like osmosis or what, but it was right there. And it's a great illustration of how we need to live our lives. Every minute of every day, be thinking about God. Give time to the Lord. Because the enemy is going to constantly try to distract you and get your mind off of him. Meditate, meditate, meditate. I keep referring to football. I love football. Okay? I could tell you all about football. Well, my prayer is that I'd be able to tell you all about the Bible. All right? And that's the attitude we got to have in life. He says, so that you may have success wherever you go. In verse 8, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. What does success mean to you? Anybody? I want three people to tell me what success is. Young people. Yes, sir. When you accomplish something, okay. Somebody else? Man, that's a good one. That's success, isn't it? Very good. Anybody else? He said being baptized and knowing that you'll be risen with God. Anybody else? One more. Come on, guys. This is how I know you're participating and paying attention. Are you already gone? Somebody else. Riley, what's success? You know I'm always going to follow you, man. I love you. Yeah, what's your idea of success? Being happy with your life. Good answer. Those were all good answers. The reason I ask you these questions, words are important. Grammar, language is important. And when we read this in verse 8, it says, so that you may have success and be prosperous. And the first thing that comes to the mind of an American is money. God's going to make me successful. I'm going to drive a big fancy car. God's going to make me prosperous. I'm just going to march through life. I'm going to wear my Rolex, right? Isn't that the first thing that comes to mind? You know what it means in the Hebrew? To have success, the word means to act wisely. Imagine that. Act wisely. Don't be stupid in your decisions. Make good decisions. And the word and the phrase make your way prosperous means to cut through, come upon mightily, overpowering force, move rapidly. Where's the money in that? Do you see money in that? Do you see a Rolex in that? No. Overpowering force. You know why? Because we're talking about good versus evil. We're talking about those who are for us versus those who are against us. And when you follow the Word of God, don't stray from it. Stay straight. Make it a part of your life. Meditate on it. God promises you that you will act wisely and that you will have overpowering force against the enemy. That's success, guys. That's prosperous. That's the kind of life you can live spiritually. Everything I'm talking about here is spiritually. Okay? A spiritual life. But it'll affect your physical life as well in a positive way. So in Joshua's time, the command to be strong and courageous and to follow the word of God would lead to the promise that he would act wisely and that he would move rapidly to overpower the forces that were against him. How about that? That's encouraging. That gets me fired up. That makes me want to watch the movie, The 300. Right? Because we were just talking about that. Listen, guys. Too often today, people water down the Word of God. They make it something that it's not. There's so much here. There's so much richness. There's so much in here that can change your life. But you got to be willing to let the Lord do it. You got to be willing to meditate on it. To study it. To have it taught. Get it as much as you can. For us today, overcoming fear. Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you everywhere you go. Stay in the Word constantly. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You know what that means? Choose your friends wisely. That's a big one. I was a cop for 18 years. And I saw what happens when you don't choose your friends wisely. You end up in the back of a police car, or in prison, or in a graveyard. I hate to say. Now's the time you got to choose your friends wisely, who you hang out with. Because now's the time. Where you guys are right now, about 13 to about 18, that's one of the most volatile times in your life. Use your head. Realize that you are opposed, that you are powerless outside of Christ, but you are unstoppable in Christ. Act wisely. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Joshua and the people of Israel were going to claim a land. Okay? You and I have spiritual blessings that we can't even comprehend. I can't even describe them to you. But I can tell you this, what we have awaiting us, if we would follow the commands of God, is beyond your wildest imagination. Spiritual blessings in Christ. That's your inheritance. That's what I was talking about earlier. That's the Word of God. Turn to Joshua chapter 5. I want to show you the God of the Word. This is one of my most favorite... Well, that's terrible grammar. This is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or against, or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What is my Lord to say to his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. I'll give you the setup for this one. Joshua is about to take, and the Israelites are about to take Jericho. Remember the story of Jericho where they march around the city seven times and they blow the trumpet and whatnot and then the walls fall? Well, that's what's about to take place. And as he's about to engage in this battle, he looks up and he sees a guy standing there with a sword. Anybody want to tell me who that was? That was God. That's Jesus. That's right. And the Bible, well, it's called a theophany, a big fancy word. And all it means is a visible manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I love what he says to him. "Are you for us or against us?" He says, "No, neither. I'm for me because I'm it," is what Jesus is saying. That's the God of the Word, guys. Are you for us or for our adversaries? No. By the way, take off your sandals. Where you're standing is holy ground. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that is the person who indwells your life right now. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's not a Libertarian. He's Christ. He's it. He's the one. He's the party of the universe. Are you following me? The Word of God and the God of the Word. That's who we worship, guys. That's who is greater. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's who He is. That gets me fired up. And I want to take you to the book of Psalms, and I want to take you to chapter 1. Keeping in mind the Word of God and the God of the Word, and what I want to talk about is the person who defeats fear. Here's some more principles for you guys, some more things that you can apply to your life. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. By the way, if you want to have a really cool spiritual life as far as Bible reading, read the Psalms. I took Gene's suggestion from the conference to start reading the Psalms on a consistent basis, and it's made a huge difference in my life. Psalm chapter 1. He says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates," there's that word again, "day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The person who defeats fear, first of all, verse 1, is separated from the world. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Wicked, sinners, scoffers. The world. That's the enemy. There's three people that we fight. Three enemies. The world, the flesh, the devil. Christ has defeated all of them. And the first thing I want you to see is to be separated from the world, is what he's telling us in verse 1. Remember Joshua, act wisely. Ephesians 5:15 tells us to walk carefully, walk circumspectly. This past hunting season, our hunting lease, they had a lot of cedar trees on the hunting lease. And then when you have cedar trees, you have what's called cedar knees. Anybody know what a cedar knee is? Cypress, thank you. Cypress knees, wrong tree. What is it? You raise your hand. It's there about this high. This stump's about this high. And a lot of times you can't see them. And if you don't watch where you're going, you're going to step on one and you can break something. The point I'm trying to make, you better walk carefully in that kind of an environment. You better walk carefully in the world that you guys live in today. Because the world is heating up, guys. The enemy is heating up. Things are heating up, and it's attacking your generation, I believe, more than any other. He wants to take you out, because he knows if he can take you out, then we're done. One day you guys are going to be presidents and congressmen and senators and business leaders and all these things. You realize that? It's going to get here before you know it. And the decisions you make now with your life are going to affect everybody else. Walk wisely. Walk carefully. Be in the world, but not of the world. Like Jalen doing when he tweets. He's in the world, but he's not of the world. Because the thing he tweets on his Twitter are positive, encouraging, uplifting, Bible-centered things. That's what I'm talking about. John chapter 1, verse 7 tells us to walk in the light. I want to give you an example of somebody as far as being separated from the world. The night when Jesus was crucified, before he actually went to the cross, he and his disciples are together in the upper room. Jesus says, I'm about to die on the cross. And so they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, all of them, and they pray. And of course, Peter falls asleep and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, the soldiers come and arrest Christ. And Jesus says, you guys need to get out of here. And what does Peter do? He follows him. He's walking along, and all of a sudden he sees a campfire, and he goes up and he sits by the campfire, and he sits down, and all of a sudden he betrays Christ. This is an illustration. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Peter considered, then sat down, and stayed for a while, and then he betrayed Christ. Instead of walking forward, instead of doing what Jesus said, instead of walking away, he walked, he did his own thing, and then he stops and he considers, and then he goes and he sits down, and the next thing you know, he's done a horrible thing. He's betrayed Christ. Same thing happens to you when you start walking in the world. You're walking along, following Christ, and all of a sudden something happens, and you stop, and you consider, and there's that sin out there, there's that temptation out there, and you think about it for a while, and you go, and you sit down, and you warm your hands by the temptation, and all of a sudden, bam, it's done. You following me? That's how it happens. You got to be separated from the world. Verse 1. Verse 2, be saturated with the Word. That his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Let it sink into your soul. Jeremiah 15:16 says this, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. What he's trying to say is he takes in the Word of God. He eats it. It's a good illustration of what we do. Being saturated with the Word. Meditate on it day and night. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You know, the only thing that's going to last forever from this earth is this right here. The old earth and the old heavens are going to burn up, but the word of God is going to stand forever. You have the only thing on this earth that's going to last for eternity is right here. Of course, not to mention your soul. But I'm talking about physical things here. This is it. Why not make it the priority of your life? If you do, it'll change your life. Finally, verse 3, be situated by the water. He says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. In John chapter 7, I believe it is, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as streams of living water. Fear in your life will be defeated when you allow the Holy Spirit to quench your spiritual thirst. I know that sounds kind of weird and wordy, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. You got to trust it because that's what the Word of God says. Allow the Holy Spirit to live His life out through you. Water is vital. We can't live without it. We got to have it. A tree planted by without water is going to die. And it's the same way with you and I. Without the Word of God, we're going to die. We're going to wither up. But when you have the Word of the Lord and you're planted, no matter what happens in your life, you can stand strong. And trust me, there's going to be some crazy things that are going to happen in your life. There's going to be all kinds of challenges that are going to come up and hit you broadside that you're not going to expect. This happened to me this past week to my wife and I. Knocked us for a loop. And the only thing that got us through was a loving church family who understands what it means to love one another. And the Word of God that was in our souls. What happened to us may not have been that big of an deal to some people, but it was to us. Everybody's different. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The only way you're going to be able to get through life is if you depend, meditate, rely on the Word of God. Walk the straight path, not to the right, not to the left. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. When you do, you're going to understand what that means. It's going to make sense. What's really cool in verse 3, that word prosper, at the end he prospers, is the exact same word that we saw in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Remember, that was the word I was telling you means overpowering, overwhelming force. It's the same word. I want to close this out with something pretty cool. Somebody go to John chapter 14, verse 6, and read it for me. Whoever gets it first can read it. 14, verse 6. Very good, thank you. What I want to do, I want to show you a comparison between John 14, 6 and Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Jesus is the way to be separated from the world. Jesus is the truth to be saturated in the Word. And Jesus is the life to be situated by the water. Isn't that cool? See how those three line up? See how the Word of God, how it agrees with itself? You see? I love that. I want to close this out tonight. We've been doing this for about 45 minutes with the words from a song. And listen to these words. He says, it's real short. My rest is a weapon against the oppression of man's obsession to control things. Look at the long line of make-believe kings. The Lord of the Flies wants you to kiss his ring. Follow new rules with invisible strings and become a puppet in the diabolical scheme. How do good men become part of the regime? They don't believe in resistance. Hold fast like an anchor in the storm. We will not be moved. Become a resistor. Don't let the world suck you in. We got a government today that's well on its way to becoming communist. Completely controlling everything that you do. You got to learn to resist people. I'm not talking about armed resistance here. That's for another day. I'm talking about spiritual things. You got to stand firm in Christ. That's the only way you're going to get through. All right, tomorrow night, we're going to get into 2 Kings chapter 6, which is the actual verse from up here. Okay, guys, I really appreciate your time. Please close with me in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity we have to look at your word for a little while. Father, I pray that the things that we discussed and discovered, the fact that we can, or that you want us to stay in your word, to meditate on it, to be strong and courageous, to act wisely, to be prosperous, which is the idea of having overwhelming force as far as spiritual things go. Father, they're all promises. They're right there in your word. And all we have to do is believe them and trust them. Father, I pray that we could take these things that we've learned tonight, and so that whenever something hits us broadside, we can understand that we can stand strong because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's within us. I pray, Father, that if there's somebody tonight that does not know Jesus as Savior, that would change. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.